Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's homily comes from verse 2 of our reading from Romans. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In the name of Jesus, amen. September the 9th, 1999, this is the perfect opportunity for someone to talk about the Y2K thing that's going on, but those of you that know me know I couldn't speak knowledgeably about computers, so I moved to something about history, something I do know a little bit about. The dedication services of the second building housing Concordia Seminary St. Louis began on this day in 1883. It was a great celebration. I went to CHI, pulled out from the archives the order of services for that day. You might like to know that on the first morning service, Dr. Walther spoke to those there in German. They sang in German. In the afternoon, two professors from Fort Wayne came and spoke. They sang some more hymns, more celebration going on. Then came the second day of celebrations. Professor Pieper and Steckhart addressed the faculty and staff and students in Latin, and they sang in Latin. Later that night, they all rode in their buggies down to the Mercantile Library Hall on Fifth Street in Locust, and the Te Deum by Haydn was performed by orchestra. What a great celebration! It was new, fresh, dedication of the second building. Well, up from Perry County came these two old Lutheran pastors, Hans and Fritz, and they saw the celebrations going on, and they saw the new seminary building that they didn't get to go in. They didn't get to enjoy. And, you know, Hans turns to Fritz and he said, "Fritz, the old building wasn't so bad, you know. Why'd they think they need a new one?" Change. Not everyone likes it. But sometimes it's necessary. And St. Paul urges his Christian hearers to be transformed by the renewing of their minds. Now, these are Christian hearers. They have been justified. They have been sanctified. So this transformation, Paul writes about, is what flows from faith and creates an inward moral change in our spirit, in our soul, and in our bodies. We sang about that in the hymn. This is gospel motivation. It is the mercy of God which moves us to love our Lord, to love our neighbor in various ways. Still, Paul is saying here that the Christian should be willing to be admonished for not burying that sinful man daily. Luther said the transformation of our mind is the most useful knowledge a believer in Christ can possess. The preservation of one's own mind is the most harmful resistance to the Holy Spirit. Interesting. More interesting, in the second half of this verse, Paul is suggesting something even more profound than can be expressed in written words, something that can only be understood by experience. Don't get me wrong here. This experience is the aha experience of God's people. For example, God tells Abraham, "Now pack up some things and your son and take him to the mountain and sacrifice him there." But it's only after that God's will is revealed, when the angel comes and saves his son, that God's will is revealed. And then, aha! God's pleasing will, his perfect will, is revealed. Joseph of Joseph and Mary considers Mary his espoused wife, who is pregnant, and an angel comes to him and says, "Do not be afraid. Take Mary, your wife, because what is conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit." Aha! Understanding. Abraham up on the mountain understands, and he calls that place what? The Lord will provide. Mary gives birth to a son, Jesus, who becomes the Savior of the world. And her song is now understanding. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his servant. Aha. Jesus comes into Jerusalem triumphantly. The crowd shout, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And then the days play out, and he is crucified. And at first, the disciples do not understand this and why this has happened. Only after Jesus is glorified did they understand why these things had to happen. Aha! The apostles' realization has now become our creed. For us men and for our salvation, God's will, his pleasing and perfect will. It's true, the wisdom and will of God are oftentimes hidden in seemingly absurdity. But the believer who has been transformed and who daily buries that sinful man in confession of sins and absolution and remembering his baptism, his thinking is renewed heavenly. The Christian will rejoice then when something is done contrary to his own thinking, because there God may reveal the aha. Certainly he reveals his will to us in his word, but be open to God's revelation to you in this life. As an admissions counselor for this seminary, the aha for me is what's seated before me. It's wonderful to see over 100 new students here. Aha. That's why I'm here. The aha for many of you seated there is seminary. So I am here. Unbelievable. But you're here. For many who do not know the message of Christ, the aha needs to be other words. Peace. Peace. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. In Christ on the cross. Seemingly absurd that a man on a cross renews our bodies and spirits and souls and our thinking. Seemingly absurd, but it is God's perfect will. Let all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So be open to your ahas of understanding from God. And he loves it when those ahas become alleluias. Thank you, Lord. Your will for us is good and pleasing and perfect for the sake of Christ our Lord. Amen.